Dear brothers and sisters, good morning. I want to let you know that I will address the current situation at the end of Mass. I'm not going to do it here for two reasons. One, as you know, is my very strong conviction that commentary on contemporary events does not belong in the homily in the middle of Mass. And number two, I know a lot of people have sensitivity and trigger areas here, and I want to allow them the chance to duck out if they need to at the end. Okay? Everybody understand? I do a lot of driving. I used to do more. I love to drive very long distances. I've said this before. If there were a bridge between Alaska and Russia, I'd be driving to Catalonia, 113 days to get there or whatever. I'd be doing it, man. I love to drive. I've been on this earth a bit now. I'm a bit long in the tooth. So I recall the days whenever I drove with a compass and a sextant, and I looked at the stars, and I tried to guide my way, and I read street signs, and most of all, some of you young people may not understand this, this is about the time of Fred Flintstone, I actually had printed out instructions from MapQuest that I would use, right? And the most ridiculous instructions in the world, it was like 45 instructions to get from here to my kitchen. But the reality is that's how we had to do it, you know? Before this glorious invention known as GPS. And now I use Google Maps to go everywhere. And if you've talked to me before, you'll understand this. I'll be like, what's your address? Like, oh, Father, all you gotta do is you go 5 miles down the road, then you see a goat, and you turn left, and then look, there's the place where Tina Na fell in 1932, and you take a right at that. Just give me your address, please. Okay. GPS will take you there. And if you're used to using Google Maps, as I do for almost everything, you'll know that whenever you plug in where you want to go, it'll give you various routes to get there and then select the best route. Those aren't the only routes you can take. I know this because I've tested my Google Maps when driving across country. I'll be like, oh, look, it's the world's biggest ball of yarn. Oh, look, it's green chili jerky. Oh, look, it's a random Amish guy selling root beer out of his garage. Like, all of these things have happened. Okay, so I was like, hey, I want to go see that. And then I drive on Google Maps. I'm like, what are you doing? And then it'll give me, a new route that takes me through somebody's yard and I have to hop over a ditch or something. It's fine. Okay. I'm using this image because the reality is that even though I get from point A to point B, there are various ways to get there, and there's a best way to get there according to the algorithm, and that best way changes. It changes upon the time of day that I leave, it changes if there's a wreck along the way, it changes about traffic, it changes. And if you use Google Maps a lot, you know that, it changes. During these 5 weeks between Epiphany season and Lent, I wanted to focus on that reality. That as we hear today in the second reading, we're all called to be holy, we're all called to be saints, we're all called in our prayer lives to get to God. We have, in some sense, we all have the same destination. And yet, there are many different ways to get there. There are many different ways to get there. All within the Catholic faith, all with the sacraments, all with the teachings of the Church. But the reality is that God has given us each different gifts, and He calls us all by different ways. However, even though there is a great and genuine diversity in the ways to God, it's also the fact that most of us are going to travel a long ways that are somewhat similar to a number of other people. So, for example, if I had to get from here to New Orleans, and if you had to get from here to New Orleans, there are a lot of different ways to do that. But I bet most of us are going to take I-10 or Highway 90. That's just the reality. And our journeys along I-10 or Highway 90 are going to look a little different. That's what most of us are going to do. And that grouping of kind of fellow travelers who have a similar, not the same, a similar path are known as the schools of spirituality. God raises up saints to establish schools of spirituality to help guide the whole church, but in particular help guide a number of people who don't have the same but do have a similar path to God. There are a number of those. We don't have time in a year to go through all of them, but I am going to pick the biggest five. In my study of this, I've come to realize that there are five who, through their saints, through their religious orders, through the devotions they've given to the church, through the way that a lot of other schools of spirituality take parts of them and then remix them, there are five schools of spirituality that are really kind of the Power Five League. Okay, they're the biggest names. They're the blue bloods. So we're going to do those five. And today we're going to start with the Jesuits and Ignatian spirituality. So St. Ignatius of Loyola joined with St. Francis Xavier and St. Peter Faber and, let me do the math here real quick, four other guys, and founded the Society of Jesus in the 1500s. And as part of that, God gave them a genuinely new, powerful charism in the world. There are whole books written on Jesuit spirituality. It is a powerful spirituality, even though the Jesuits catch some heat today, in some sense, deservedly. It is a powerful spirituality, and it's influenced me a lot. You'll hear it whenever I explain it. One of the great things about Jesuit spirituality, probably the heart of Jesuit spirituality, is something we find echoed in the first reading today. You are my servant. Ignatius of Loyola was a knight. He laid down his sword at the feet of Our Lady of Montserrat to become a knight for Christ, to become a soldier for Christ. And he set up his order in a very military way, understanding that his men would be the soldiers of Christ. Christ would be their superior commander, and they would be his privates and lieutenants. You are my servant. And that is something that Ignatius understood profoundly. In seminary, one of my professors called the Jesuits God's Marines, right? They are the ones who were sent throughout the world under obedience to Christ to do something. To do something. And that was something that Ignatius felt very powerfully. It is so wonderful that people live very Christian lives at home. But there's a whole world out there, as had recently just been discovered, and it needs to hear the gospel. And this is shortly after the Age of Discovery from Europe. And Jesuits, and it's a very young order, spread throughout the world. They went to every continent except Antarctica. Spread throughout the world. They were the frontline soldiers. They went to the jungles of Paraguay. They went to the islands of Japan. They went to China. They went to India. They went to Madagascar. They went to places where no one else was even allowed from Europe. They jumped through every hoop. They learned every language. They would not be stopped because they were God's Marines. You are my servant, through whom I show my glory. There is a powerful motto that the Jesuits give, which is AMDG. You might have seen that before. It's abbreviated AMDG. AMDG is the abbreviation for the Latin phrase Ad Maiorem Dei Gloriam, to the greater glory of God. To the greater glory of God. And that's the Jesuit line. Am I going to eat Cheerios today, or am I going to eat an omelet? Ad Maiorem Dei Gloriam. Whatever gives God glory, that is your guiding star. That is your compass. Whatever is for the greater glory of God, whatever it costs, whatever it demands, you are my servant for the greater glory of God. Now, how do we do this if we're serving God? How do we do this? Well, this is where we get into the whole idea of Jesuit discernment, of trying to figure out and learn how to hear God's voice and distinguish it from the voice of the enemy, from the voice of Satan, and from the voice of my own desires, to know the command of God. And as part of that, and I don't have time to go into it this weekend, but as part of that, Ignatius has these beautiful, beautiful, beautiful meditations, and structured meditation of how to picture yourself in the gospel events so that you hear God's word, but with this understanding. That's not just to titillate you or to delight you or to entertain you. It's so that you can find your mission. Now, for all five schools of spirituality, we're going to talk about a devotion and Catholic life that really comes from them and was promoted by them. So let me ask you this. How many of you have ever made a retreat? Whether it be a confirmation retreat or Crecia or Acts or any kind of retreat like that. How many of you have made a retreat? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. It comes from them. In the early church, people would retreat for their entire lives out to the desert. It was Ignatius's genius to realize that even people living in the world, people who were not religious, people who were not monks and nuns, needed time. He set it up to be 40 days. We do it a little bit shorter these days. But needed time to step away for a period of intense silence, penance, and prayer so that they could hear God's voice. So that they could hear God's voice. And that the purpose of that retreat, despite what I see on social media all the time, is not so that we can have a restful time away. It's not so that we can have a moment of just quiet. It's so that you can get your marching orders. It's so that you leave that retreat knowing what you're supposed to do. Shot like a bullet to go do it. It is too little, the Lord says, for you to be my servant. I will make you a light to the nations that my salvation may reach the ends of the earth. That's Jesuit spirituality. And in all of my talk about our mission, about our charisms, about the need to reach out to people who haven't been to Mass, about our need to not just be people who come to Mass week after week, as important as that is, but to be people who actually go out and shake the world, I'm deeply influenced by them. Deeply. And so we ask the prayers of St. Ignatius, we ask the prayers of St. Francis Xavier, and I ask you to consider how God might be calling you. And if he is indeed calling you to a deeper affinity with Ignatian spirituality, with the Jesuit community and society, with a deeper sense of ad maiorem Dei gloriam, of tearing through the noise, hearing the voice of God, and going out and shaking the world. God bless you all.